The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a Mutual note for you. Every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock over Mutual, it's time for the Children's Hour. There are programs for all lovers of thrilling exploits and daring adventures. Imaginative trips into a whirl of excitement for all kids from 6 to 60. Cowboy heroes of today's and yesterday's western rangeland gallop to deeds of stirring action. Their stories show the spirit of the men who braved the perils of the frontier and still fight to uphold justice. You can hear true-to-life tales of men who face danger and hardship in out-of-the-way places in the world and whose lives are inspiring examples of courage. Exciting fiction characters bring their share of daredevil exploits with secret disguises and modern machines used in the never-ending battle against evildoers. The doors open to thrilling adventures every weekday afternoon when Mutual's popular children's heroes take to the air. Young imaginations delight in these programs that bring a world of daring action to colorful life. They're all heard on Mutual every weekday over most of these stations. In the warm summer weather, Sergeant Preston was traveling on horseback with his great dog, Yukon King, running alongside. They were on the trail several miles from the town of Stewart when the sergeant noticed a thin stream of smoke rising from a cabin ahead. The cabin belonged to a friend of Preston's, a wealthy prospector named John LaRue. As the policeman watched, the smoke became more dense. It darkened and rose ominously against the sky.
What? That cabin's on fire. Come on, Blackie. Got boy.
As Preston neared the cabin, a heavy-set red-headed man ran from the open door. The Mountie recognized him as Red Trigo, a trail robber and the head of a gang of petty thieves. Red carried a large canvas bag, and he was hurrying toward a ground-hitched horse nearby. When he saw Preston, he reached for his gun.
Don't finish that crawl. Oh, Blackie, fool. You see? I'll take that gun.
So you were planning to shoot me.
I wouldn't have shot you.
And why'd you make the play for your gun?
Why, I lost my head. You see, my cabin's on fire. I'm trying to save my
gold. You claim to own this cabin?
Yeah.
You're lying, Red.
Hey, you know me.
That's right. Where's John LaRue?
How do I know?
If there's gold in that canvas bag, I think it's his.
You can't prove that without LaRue say so.
Is he inside that cabin?
Well, why don't you go look?
I intend to. First, I'll handcuff you. There.
You can't make me go in that cabin with you.
I'm going in alone.
You think handcuffs will keep me here while you're inside?
No, but King will see that you don't leave. Guard King, watch him, boy. Understand? You better not try to make a break, Red. With King on the job, you haven't a chance.
With that warning, Preston left his disarmed and handcuffed prisoner and hurried toward the cabin. As he entered the cabin, he caught the odor of coal oil that had been used to start the fire. Flames were concentrated at the far end of a single room. The bunk and wall above it were completely on fire, and the furniture nearby was blazing. On the floor near the flames, the sergeant saw John LaRue, wounded and unconscious. The prospector's clothing was beginning to burn. There was nothing with which to beat out the flames, so Preston ripped off his own tunic and used it to smother them. Then he wrapped the tunic around LaRue and dragged his friend toward the door. Outside, he found Red Trigo as he had left him. While King remained on guard, the sergeant treated LaRue's scalp wound. The unconscious man opened his eyes.
Steady, John.
My gold.
Your gold's safe. I'll take it with us to town.
Now, listen, Preston, let me explain.
Save your explanation for the judge. You're under arrest for robbery and attempted murder.
Look, Preston, I have friends.
I know all about your friends. They're a pack of thieves. And sooner or later, they'll all land in jail. Keep an eye on him, King.
Sergeant Preston examined the contents of the canvas sack Red Trigo had carried from the cabin. It held gold. The policeman placed it in his saddlebag. Then he helped John LaRue mount his horse. When he was in the saddle, the sergeant mounted behind him.
All right, Trigo, hit the saddle. You'll ride ahead of us to town.
When they reached the town of Stewart, Sergeant Preston went directly to the jail. Two cells occupied one end of the long room. A cot, a desk, and a couple of chairs comprised the office. A moment after the guard had placed Red Trigo behind bars, Dr. Spruce hurried into the office. He was carrying his sealskin bag, which he placed on the floor beside the cot.
I saw you ride past my place holding LaRue in your saddle, Sergeant. I knew the man was hurt, so I figured I'd be needed.
How bad is that scalp wound, Doc?
From the looks of it, LaRue's lucky to be alive.
I wouldn't be if it weren't for Sergeant Preston.
As soon as I've bandaged LaRue's head, I'll take care of those burns on your hands and arms, Sergeant.
Oh, they're not serious, Doc.
From the looks of your clothing, I'd say a burning building must have fallen on you.
It wasn't quite that bad, but LaRue's cabin has burned to the ground.
What happened to your uniform?
Well, I used the tunic to beat out the flames on John's clothing. Fire and sparks ruined the trousers.
I'm sorry about your uniform, Sergeant. But I'll make it up to you. Now I've got to be on my way.
Well, where do you think you're going?
To meet Captain Ray in Templeton. He's leaving for the States next week, and he's going to take my gold home to my family.
You trust the captain with your gold?
I trust him with my life. We've been friends for years. I'll leave as soon as you've patched me up, Doc.
You're not going any farther than my place. You'll need a lot of care for a week or so.
But I've got to get to Templeton.
You'll never make it, so you might as well forget about it.
Well, I'm going to Templeton to investigate the operations of Trigo's gang. When I leave here, I'll take your gold with me and deliver it to Captain Ray, if you like.
Sergeant, I'm already indebted to you. I hate to ask
you. Ask, John. I offered, so forget it. Doc, has Constable Baker reached town?
No, is he supposed to come here?
Yes, he's to be stationed here in Stewart.
Yeah, doggone, that's good news. We need an officer here. Well, John, that bandage is set. Now it's your turn, Sergeant Preston.
Dr. Spruce applied soothing ointment to Sergeant Preston's hands and arms. And then, leaving the guard on duty in the jail, the Mountie and the doctor moved John LaRue to the doctor's home. With his patient comfortably settled, the doc turned his attention to the gold Sergeant Preston had carried into the bedroom.
Sakes alive, John. You've a small fortune here.
I am very glad that Sergeant Preston's taking it to Captain Ray.
Trigo nearly killed you to get that gold.
If it isn't generally known that I've taken the gold with me, there may be another attempt to steal it.
That's what I think, Sergeant.
Of course, John will be safe when Constable Baker arrives.
But he isn't here yet. There's no telling what might happen before he reaches town.
You're right, Doc. I'll leave King to stand guard until the constable arrives.
Well, that'd be great, if you can spare him.
Of course. I'll be back this way in a week or so. I'll pick him up then.
I appreciate that, Sergeant. I have more than LaRue to worry about. My wife and children are in the house, and there have been a lot of robberies around here. If someone tries to break
in... I understand, Doc. I think Red Trigo is responsible for those robberies.
Have you questioned him about the men who are supposed to work with him?
I questioned him on the way to town.
Did he talk?
No. But I have some leads to investigate in Templeton. Well, Doc, tell Constable Baker I'm sorry I missed him.
I'll tell him. What about your clothing, Sergeant? Do you have a spare uniform with you?
No, I haven't, Doc. When I left Dawson, I didn't expect to be caught in a fire.
We're about the same size. Maybe some of my clothes will fit you.
Well, I plan to stop at the trading post long enough to buy some dungarees and a jacket.
Oh, no need for that if I'm able to outfit you. I'll see what I have.
Sergeant Preston left town wearing a borrowed jacket and trousers and carrying LaRue's gold in his saddlebag. Meanwhile, Constable Baker had arrived. With him was Constable Tom Diamond. When the two men learned that Sergeant Preston had been at Doc's house, they went there. King gave Baker a friendly welcome. Then he returned to the foot of John LaRue's bed while Doc explained the day's events to the two policemen.
Sergeant left King to stand guard. He didn't know how soon you'd arrive, Constable.
My orders were changed in Dawson. That's why I was delayed, Doc. Constable Diamond is to stay here.
That's right, Doctor.
Then you'll be based here, Constable?
Yes.
What about you, Baker?
I have orders to join Preston.
Oh, I see.
If Constable Diamond's to stay in town, we'll not need King, Doc.
Well, that's right, John. I hadn't thought of that.
I'll take King with me. Perhaps we'll be able to overtake Preston before he reaches Templeton. You like that idea, huh, King? Well, we'll leave right away, boy.
Constable Baker mounted his horse and left, taking the great dog King with him. Constable Diamond went to the hotel in town and rented a room. Then he began his rounds. He checked the cafes and gambling halls, introduced himself to a number of townsmen. It was nearly dark when he returned to the jail to find the prisoner had escaped. Red had headed into the hills, traveling over ground that would show no hoof prints.
Steady there, steady.
As darkness fell, he spurred his stolen horse.
Get up there. Move along. Get up.
The sliding rocks were treacherous underfoot. The big gray horse tried to slow his pace to pick his way more carefully, but Red drove the animal hard to increase his speed.
Come on there, get up.
And then suddenly the horse lost its footing. Man and horse spilled to the ground. In falling, Red wrenched his ankle and twisted his knee. The sudden pain of his injuries left him gasping for breath. Then he tried to stand. The horse had already regained his footing. Red gripped the stirrup, then the pommel as he pulled himself to his feet. He mounted and gritted his teeth against the pain. Cursing the gray's stupidity, Red proceeded at a slow gait.
Get up! Get up there! Get up!
He traveled all night, stopping at frequent intervals to rest. It was nearly 10 o'clock the next morning when he reached a prearranged rendezvous with the three men who comprised his gang.
Oh, hold there, hold there.
Red, hey, Red, what happened?
I've been in jail. I'm making my getaway after stealing John LaRue's gold when a money named Preston captured me. Took me to jail in Stewart. But I managed to break out.
Did you steal that horse to get away from town?
Yeah, and a critter threw me. I think I sprained my ankle, twisted my knee. Help me dismount, will you, Jacob?
Sure, Red. Come on, lean on me.
I'll take it easy.
Come on, easy now. That's it. Come on over here. All right, now sit down here. Lean back against that rock. I'll take a look at your knee and ankle.
Good thing you boys are here.
We've been here since daybreak yesterday.
Hey, that ankle's sore, Jacob. Be careful.
It looks sore, Red. It's all swollen.
So you were jailed for robbery, huh, boss?
Robbery and attempted murder, Monk.
Hey, Red, we stayed away from murder.
Yeah, I know, Crow. Figure that's why we never made a real big cleanup. From now on, we're changing our style of operation. We're going after the big money. We're through with small stuff.
With the money in these parts, stealing of any kind would be dangerous.
Yeah, it might be. I know where that money is. Oh, hey, Jacob!
I'm tying a couple of bandanas on your ankle, Red. Make them good and tight. That'll help some. You'll want to see a doctor.
Yeah, the doctor and Stewart. I'll see him when I go back to get LaRue.
What do you mean, get LaRue?
He's got to die so he'll never be able to testify against me in case I'm caught later.
What about the money who captured you?
I aim to kill Preston, too.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. This year's outdoor vacationing season really begins next weekend. It's the Memorial Day holiday weekend, you know, and that means a lot of people will be taking advantage of an extra day off. So if you and your family are also planning an outing, here's something to remember. As you're driving along the highway or road, watch to see that no one in your car carelessly throws a lighted match or cigarette out the window. If you're out in the woods on a picnic or camping trip, keep a close watch on the campfire. And when you leave, pour water over the fire, stir it, then pour water over it again. This is important. If you're not careful, you may start a bad grass or forest fire. And every time there's a fire like that, it does all kinds of damage to your country's defense program. Men who could be working on defense projects have to go out and fight the fire. Valuable timber and rangeland goes up in smoke. So you be careful with fire. And be sure that everyone else around you is careful, too. Let's all help stop forest fires. Now to continue. Red Trigo had announced his intention to kill Sergeant Preston and a prospector named John LaRue.
What about LaRue's gold, Red?
Monk Preston's taking it to Templeton. Planning to take it to a fellow named Ray. But the money will be traveling alone, except for his dog, King. Now, Monk, you and Crow are to head him off before he reaches Templeton. Get him and get that gold.
How we know, Preston?
Don't talk like a saphead, Crow. How many Monty's are in this part of the country?
How do I know? I make it a point to steer clear of.
Now, look. You'll have a big husky named King with him. You'll have to move fast to overtake him before he reaches town. You take every shortcut to the main trail you can think of.
How much of a start does he have?
He left Stewart late yesterday afternoon, from what I heard.
We'll have to travel hard to catch up to him.
I know a couple of shortcuts that'll cut him off, Monk.
Good. Remember, the gold he's carrying will be worth whatever it costs to get it.
What about Jacob?
You'll travel with me. Bad leg, I may need help.
I'll help you reach town, Red, but I don't want any part of murder.
I'll handle that myself, Jenkins. And we'll come back here and I'll deal with Preston and his dog.
You want us to bring Preston here?
That's right. And save him for me. First, I'll put a bullet in that dog of his. Then I'll take care of the redcoat. I'll get ready to hit the saddle.
Right. Come on, Crow.
Yeah. Red, how about something to eat before we start for Stewart?
Hey, good idea, Jakin. I'm plenty hungry.
Red ate a cold meal. Then Jakin packed the gear and broke camp. As he was helped to the saddle, Red tried to ignore the throbbing pain of his swollen ankle and twisted knee.
Well, how do you feel, Red?
I don't know if I'll make it, Jakin.
You want to stay here?
No. I'm going after LaRue. Now I'll have to make the doc take care of my ankle and my knee.
Well, whatever you say, Red.
Get up.
Come
get
on,
up.
Get up, there.
Meanwhile, a man named Crow led Monk over several shortcuts that shaved miles in the distance to Templeton. It was nearly 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they came down a wooded slope at the side of the main trail. As they drew rein, they saw a red-coated horseman approaching on the trail below. They grinned with satisfaction when they saw the great husky King trotting alongside the policeman's horse. Neither Crow nor Monk knew that the rider was Constable Baker.
There's Preston, Monk.
He has a dog with him.
He's due for a surprise.
That's far enough, Manny. Stop right there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Don't try to reach for your gun. You're covered.
What's the idea?
You'll find out. I'll keep him covered, Monk. You take his gun.
Right.
Easy, boy.
You better keep that dog quiet. He makes a fast move, I'll let him have it.
Steady, King. Quiet, boy.
Now take your gun, Preston.
Preston? You think I'm Preston?
We know who you are. We know all about your dog. Have his gun, Crow.
Good.
I tell you, I'm not Preston. Preston's a sergeant.
Sergeant or constable, you're Preston. What about the gold, Crow?
Make sure it's in his saddlebag.
What gold are you talking about?
LaRue's gold.
You made a mistake. I'm carrying no gold.
Hey, he's telling the truth. There's no gold in the saddlebag.
What'd you do with it, Preston?
You had it when you left Stewart.
You two seem to have all the answers. Figure that one out.
Hold it, Monk. Red wants us to save the Mallee for him.
Red? Red Trigo?
That's right. He's our boss.
He's in jail in Stewart.
He didn't like it in jail. He broke out.
Ah, I see.
You'll come with us, Preston. When Red gets back from Stewart, he'll make you talk. Get mounted, Monk.
Right.
Easy, boy. Easy there.
Now start moving, Monty. Try any fast moves and we'll let you have it. In spite of Red's orders.
Get up. Get up there, boy.
Get up. Get up.
Great Dog King had been waiting for an order to attack the men who held guns on Preston's friend Baker. When the order didn't come, King was perplexed. Now, as Baker turned off the trail to go with the two strangers, King realized that the constable was not going to join Preston. Baker's plans had apparently been changed, but King's had not. He turned and ran toward the underbrush beside the trail.
Whoa, whoa! Crow, that dog! Stop him!
That's it, King! Keep going!
Now, stop him!
Crow was firing at a target he couldn't see, for King was hidden from view by the heavy growth of timber and brush bordering the trail. Bullets struck tree trunks and plowed into the ground without touching the mighty husky. When the men were no longer within earshot, King returned to the trail. With Preston's scent to guide him, he continued toward Templeton. In Templeton, Sergeant Preston had already turned John LaRue's gold over to Captain Ray at the steamship office. The Mountie had watched the captain lock the precious metal in an office strongbox. Then the two men had gone outside. Preston was about to leave the captain when he saw King racing toward him. Captain Ray watched in amazement as the husky leaped and jumped at his master.
King! Well, King, old fellow, what are you doing here?
Sergeant Preston, I thought you said you'd left your dog in Stewart.
I did, Captain Ray.
Then what's he doing here?
I don't know. Unless something's gone wrong and King's come to me for help.
You figure my friend LaRue's in more trouble?
I hope not, Captain, but I'll soon know for sure.
You're going back to Stewart?
Yes, goodbye and good luck.
Thanks, Sergeant, and the same to you. And tell John I'll be sure his goal reaches his family.
I'll do that. Come along, King. Like he's waiting at the hitch rail, we'll get him and go back to Stewart.
Sergeant Preston mounted and rode hard over the trail he had recently covered. He continued his journey long after darkness fell, pausing only long enough to rest his horse and eat a light meal. At midnight, he was still in the saddle. The brilliant moonlight made travel easy. But for Red Trigo, who had a much shorter distance to cover, the trip to Stewart was far from easy. He had signaled frequent stops for rest, until finally Jakin exclaimed,
"I guess you'd have stayed in camp."
"I should be right where I am, on my way to the dock."
"I thought you were going after LaRue."
"I'm willing to forget about LaRue, if only I can get my ankle and knee taken care of."
"Why not let me go on to town? I'll get the doctor and bring him here."
"No, you don't, Jakin. You're not leaving me here."
"I've been gone only long enough to get the doctor."
"Yeah, sure. You don't fool me. I know you're waiting your chance to head back to camp. You and the boys will split the gold pressing head and clear out."
"You're wrong, Red. I never thought that."
"Ho, ho there, ho,
ho there, ho. What are you stopping for?" "Hey, what's the idea of pulling a gun?"
"Hand over your hardware."
"Red, you must be loco."
"I want to make sure you do things my way. Without your gun, there'll be no argument. I hand it over or I'll bust it with a bullet."
"All right, Red, you have me covered."
Yeah, that's better. I remember, Jakin. I'll be watching you. Get up. Get up there.
At daybreak, the two outlaws were a short distance from town. They were on the main trail when Jakin said,
"Red, we ought to get off this trail and head for the hills.
It's a lot easier traveling like we are."
"Yeah, but you might be spotted."
"Now look, this critter threw me once in the hills. I don't want to risk another spill." "What's that?"
"It's a rider coming this way."
"Oh, ho there, ho, ho. Redcoat?"
"No."
"Where's he coming from?"
"From Templeton, I reckon. Holster your gun, Red, before he sees it. No need to make him suspicious."
"Yeah. A minute I thought it might be someone from Stewart hunting for me."
Jakin and Red had taken a quick look at the approaching rider. Because he was not in uniform, neither of them recognized Sergeant Preston as a policeman. But the sergeant had recognized Red Trigo. As he moved in, Red took a closer look at the tall man astride the big black horse. But by that time, it was too late to act.
Hold on.
Preston!
Don't reach for your guns, Trigo.
Jakin, do something. Get him.
I can't get him, you jughead. You took my gun.
You're both coming.
Don't shoot, Preston. I've been hurt.
On guard, King. You two keep your hands up while I disarm you. Easy, Blackie. Hey, come around, boy.
You're Preston the Mountie?
That's right.
My boys were
going
to meet you.
I don't know where your boys were going, but you and your pal are going to jail. When we're there, I'll ask some questions about the rest of your gang. I'll get moving.
The trip to Stewart was a slow one. For Red, it was sheer torture. And for Jakin, every inch of the way added to his bitterness. Jakin blamed Red for his capture. By the time they reached the jail in town, the outlaw was beside himself with rage and resentment. The doctor treated Red's ankle and knee, while Constable Diamond explained to Preston how Baker had left town with King. As Red Trigo lay on a cot in one cell, Jakin gripped the bar door of the other one, listening to the conversation.
"I don't know why King would leave Baker."
"Baker may be in trouble."
"Where was Constable Baker heading?"
"He was on his way to Templeton."
"With that dog?"
"That's right, Jakin."
"Oh, I know what happened. Monk and Crow would have stopped you, Preston. Get the gold you had."
"Shut up, Jakin."
"Why should I shut up? It's your fault I'm in here. Now I'm going to make it easy for myself by helping the law."
"Oh, you dirty double-crosser."
"I didn't see Monk or Crow on my way to Templeton."
"No, but Baker was traveling with your dog. He was in uniform. Maybe the boys got the wrong man."
"I said shut up.
Scott, Baker's been captured."
"Where is he?"
"Probably in camp. I'll tell you how to get there."
Jakin described the hidden camp in the hills and told Preston how to reach it. Then the sergeant said,
"Thanks, Jakin."
When I go on trial, tell the judge I helped you."
"If I could get through these boys, you wouldn't live to go on trial."
"Quiet, Red. Jakin, if you've told the truth, you may count on it. Come along, King."
"You want me to go with you, Sergeant?"
"Stay here and see that Red doesn't break jail again, Tom."
"I'll stand guard myself. He'll not escape this time, I promise you."
"Just a minute, Sergeant. Are you going to that camp?"
"Yes, Doc."
"Sergeant, two of Trigo's men are there."
"Baker may be there, too, Doc. I hope he's still alive."
"Easy, Blackie."
"But it may be a trap."
"I'll have to take that chance. Get up, Blackie. Come on."
Constable Baker was tied hand and foot in the outlaw's camp. He sat with his back against a huge boulder, waiting for the return of Red Trigo. Monk and Crow were also waiting for their leader.
"Let's go to Stewart and look for him, Monk."
"You heard what he said. We'll stay here and wait."
"Wait this long?"
"Well, what else can we do? We can't go to town and leave the Mountie unguarded."
"One of us could go."
"Well, go ahead if you want to. And if you meet Red, tell him Preston had no gold with him."
"I told you, I'm not Preston."
"You'll change your tune when Red gets here."
"I'll go throw a saddle on my horse. Red may need help."
"Maybe."
Crow walked through the heavy underbrush to the place where his horse was tethered. Through the trees, he could see the back of Monk's head as the outlaw watched their prisoner. Crow picked up his saddle and threw it on his horse. He was about to tighten the cinch when he felt the pressure of a gun barrel against his ribs.
Get your hands up.
Crow whirled to face the speaker, pushing Preston's gun aside. He made a grab for his own gun, but Preston's drove a left to his chin. Crow fell to the ground unconscious.
I'll disarm him. Put the cuffs on him, King. And you stand guard, boy, while I go after his partner.
A few moments later, Preston made his way to the clearing where Baker and Monk were sitting.
All set to leave, Crow?
That's right. He's all set.
Hey, what the... Preston! Why are you... Oh! My arm!
You shouldn't have tried to draw your gun.
Crow! Crow!
No use calling your partner. He's already in handcuffs.
Handcuffs?
Yes, and I have a pair for you. I'll cut those ropes in a few minutes, Baker.
Take your time, Sergeant. It's a pleasure to see these two in custody. How'd you know where to find me?
Jakin told me.
Jakin? Dirty squealer.
Well, he's being smart, Monk. He decided to help the law.
You mean he's in jail?
Yes, and so is Red Trigo. There, your wrists are free.
Oh, thanks. I'll take the knife and free my ankles. Where's King?
Guarding Crow. If you're able to hold a gun, I'll leave you for a minute and get our other prisoner.
Sure, go ahead. I'll keep an eye on Monk. Well, Monk, now you've met Preston. I told you had the wrong man.
But he's out of uniform.
That doesn't change his identity.
So we made a mistake.
And a big one, though I appreciated the compliment. I'm not often mistaken for the sergeant.
Compliment.
Stand beside your partner, Crow.
Hi there, King. Glad to see you, fella.
Mark, who is this fella? Put handcuffs on me. Says we're under arrest for abducting an officer of the law.
He's Preston, Crow.
Preston.
Sergeant, did you say Red Trigo and Jakin are in jail?
Yes, Baker. And now that we have these two, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a mutual note for you. For super quick action crammed mystery adventure, hear Nick Carter, Master Detective, this Sunday over most of these stations. Nick Carter is part of Mutual's lineup of Sunday shows that are tops in imaginative listening to suit everyone. Since 1886, when the first Nick Carter story was printed and sold to the general public, this famous fiction sleuth has delighted and amused his faithful fans. In his radio adventures, heard over Mutual since 1942, he has become one of the nation's great favorites. And despite his long history, Nick Carter is outstanding as a modern-day detective. Every Sunday, when you join Nick Carter, you set out on an exciting trail of clues and deductions, of action and suspense which reach the heights of the mysterious. Nick Carter's trigger-fast mind provides his listeners with a challenging opportunity to match wits with a master detective who solves crime bafflers with polished ease. For suspense and thrills, to relax with a good mystery, hear Nick Carter, Master Detective, this Sunday over most of these stations. Now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, I've been advised the crooks robbed a woman in a cabin on Shelf Ridge yesterday.
What'd they take, sir?
A box of gold and most of the supplies from the cabin. Trail those men and bring them back, Sergeant.
I'll leave right away, sir.
Trailing the crooks was not difficult for Preston and King, but the Mountie little expected to run into a trap and become the target for the gunman's bullets. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Thursday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.